Let's read some verses tonight in Hebrews chapter 11. Whenever you say Hebrews chapter 11, anyone that has read their Bible at all knows that that chapter lists all of these wonderful people of great faith and describes a lot of their accomplishments that they were able to accomplish by faith. Praise God. You and I are to be a people of faith. We are to be living our lives with the confidence in God's word and be willing to just see how God might work. I'm going to read, though, in verse 32, after it lists all of these various ones' names and their accomplishments, then in verse 32 it says, "And what shall I say? What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." When you read these verses, you realize that God used people, small, insignificant people of faith, to do big things, mighty things, great and mighty works. And we should be encouraged to know that God delights in using the common, ordinary person to accomplish some big things. Praise God. We just have to develop our faith and our confidence in God. And tonight I want to just talk about this a few minutes, that we would allow God to strengthen and to expand our faith to believe that God wants to do through us, Some mighty things. If he was able, through these unnamed people, to do all these amazing things, subdue kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtain promises, stop the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. These were people of great faith that we don't really know their name. They were the nobodies. They were the seeming insignificant. They didn't make the press. They didn't get their name mentioned. But yet God used them to do some wonderful, wonderful things. And he wants to and delights in doing the same thing today. Amen. A young man by the name of Hudson Taylor was just 21 years old when he left Liverpool, headed to China. 21 years old. He was just a kid. But Hudson Taylor, when he was born, his parents prayed over him and asked God to use him in China. And he grew up knowing that the hand of God was upon him and that he would one day wind up in China doing the work of the Lord. When he arrived in China, There were missionaries that were in Shanghai and some of the major port cities. There were missionaries that were there, and they stayed there because of the, you know, it was more comfortable there. It was the best of living conditions. And so they just set up their missions there along in the major cities. But Hudson Taylor, he thought that they were all worldly. That's what he said about them. He thought that they were all interested in being buddies with business people and being friends with people that were in those major cities. And he spoke of them and said, "They're too worldly." And so he began to develop what was known as the China Inland Mission. And he traveled inland into China and established a work for God that exists even to this day. To this day. It's still going on all these years. Let me just read to you, and I thought this is something that came to my mind. I've read these quotes before, This is what Hudson Taylor said about attempting something for God. He said, there's three stages to every great work of God. Number one, it's difficult. Number two, it's impossible. And number three, then it's done. Praise God. And we've been dealing with some things up at the radio station recently that have been difficult and have been impossible and are getting close to being done by the grace of God. And I tell you, there was some programs, or you know, a program for in particular that it just seemed like it was just negative. Every time I would turn it on, I was hearing things, and I just kept thinking. For the last year, I've been thinking, we don't need to be putting all this negativity out there. The world has enough of that. And so we're looking for some other options and looking for a way to get it done. And it has been a big, big thing. It has been difficult. It has been impossible. But now it is close to being done. Do you know that is exactly the way that God wants us to look at the possibilities? I know that it's very easy to kind of be complacent and just settle in for, you know, not really doing things, or certainly not starting some new thing that would just add more of a workload to you. But I still believe that God wants to do new things, great things, bigger things than we could ever imagine. But he's looking to us to be a people of faith that will be willing to hear the voice of the Lord and then step out and do it. Step out and do some things for God. Maybe some things that have not been done, or maybe things that have not been done for a long time, or maybe some things that need to be done a different way with a new vision and a new word from the Lord about the possibilities of what he wants to do. Here's another quote from Hudson Taylor. He said, all of God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them. Praise God. Amen. God uses the commoner. He uses the average. He uses people like you and me. We look to wonderful things that we think God does, and we think, well, he's going to use that person that's strong and mighty and maybe better qualified or more educated or whatever. And we think of all of those things that God might use. But no, God is looking for people like you and me to do some things that he puts in our heart. And whenever you step out to do something for God, you can expect that it will be difficult, and sometimes it will seem impossible. But God, by his grace, if he has put that in your heart, he will bring it to pass. Amen. So believe God and trust the Lord. Another quote from Hudson Taylor. God uses men who are weak enough to lean on him. It's the truth. It's the truth. We got to trust God. We have to believe God. We have to hear his voice and the call of God for whatever it is that he wants to do. But God wants to do great things. Now, when I'm talking about great things, and I've been quoting from this missionary, Hudson Taylor, the first thing that came to my mind, of course, was the famous quote from William Carey, another missionary, that he said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. God wants to work in your life and strengthen your vision, strengthen your faith to the point that you will want to step out and attempt something big for God. Amen. Attempt something great for the Lord. I don't know what it is that he might be putting in your mind and on your heart, but don't doubt it whenever God deals with you. Don't doubt it. You say, oh, there's no way it can happen. There's no way I can do it. I don't have time to do it. I don't have the strength to do it. I don't know how to do it. I don't have the money to do it. You can throw up hundreds of excuses, but if God speaks it to your heart,
something that he wants you to do for him that's going to bring glory and honor to the Lord, then he wants you to attempt it. He wants you to step out in faith. God uses the commoner. He uses the average. He uses the ordinary to do great things. And whenever that happens, then he receives the glory. Amen. He uses the base things, the weak things. He uses that which is capable, don't have the natural ability necessary to do it. And he uses them to accomplish great things. Praise God. The disciples are a great example of that. And all that they did in their ministry and advancing the cause of the gospel, when they saw that these men were commoners, that they were ignorant, that they were unlearned, but that they had been with the Lord and they had been with Jesus, and there was just something about these men. They had gotten a hold of a newfound faith and confidence in the Lord. And as a result of that, they stepped out. They were doing things. They were moving forward. They were spreading the gospel all over that region. And everywhere they went, God anointed them, and God expanded the church, and churches were built, and God was doing an amazing work through these average, common people. Praise God. Amen. So if God directs you, step out. If God puts it on your heart, step forward. If God tells you to do it, move forward. Now, if you're doing it for your own glory, if you're doing it because you want to get the acclaim for it, then it's going to fall flat. It's not going to succeed. But if it's from the Lord, if God's putting it in your heart and you have a burden to do it, then God is going to make a way. He'll empower you, and you'll be listed among the unnamed people of faith that have stepped out to do something great and mighty for the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I wanted tonight just to give you a word, a voice of faith. I wanted to prod you just a little bit tonight to understand that we all can activate faith in God. That faith can be strengthened. It can be increased. You can believe God for greater and mightier things if you'll put your trust in the Lord and listen to the voice of the Lord. Shut out all the negativity, all the lies of the enemy, and all the naysayers that may be around you saying it can't be, it won't be, it can't happen. And listen to the voice of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Let me tell you, negativity and hopelessness and doubt is so destructive. It will destroy your spirit, your confidence in God. It will cripple you from being able to be what God wants you to be. Don't doubt it. The lies of the enemy, the doubt and the negative voice of the enemy of your soul and the enemy of the work of the Lord will stop you if he can. He'll keep you from moving forward. He'll stop you from doing what God's calling you to do. Amen. Move forward and trust God. Why? Well, we serve a God that is omnipotent, and that just means that there is no power to match his power. There is no greater power, and we serve him. So if he is calling you and directing you to do it, to attempt something for him, and it's God speaking to your heart about it, then you have all the resources of God, this great, powerful, mighty God that can do anything, and nothing will be able to stop you if you put your faith and your trust in the Lord. We serve a God that is also omniscient, which means that he knows everything. He knows everything from the end, from the beginning to the end. He knows it all. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about your past, and he knows your future, and he knows the potential of your life if you'll put your faith in God. He knows what you could be if you would just trust God, if you would be filled with the Spirit, if you would answer the call of God and renew that vision that God has given to you. He is omniscient from the end. He knows the end from the beginning. And his purpose will be accomplished. Will be if he speaks it to your heart, if he deals with you about it, then you can see it come to pass. Glory to God. Do you remember that Wednesday night when I said, there are some things that bother me. And I listed two or three things that bother me. And one of them was, I said, I drove by on 4th Street and I saw a for sale sign on that building that used to be a homeless shelter. I said, that bothers me. And it ought to bother all of us. And we prayed about it that night. And that was the seed. That was the beginning, at least in my own heart. I know God was working in a lot of other different ways, but as far as my involvement that was the seed. That was the beginning of it, of what God wanted to do. And God is still doing today. And when I drive past that now or I'm down there, I realize this ministry has been raised up with godly people that are leading it, directing it. God has provided for that ministry financially in amazing ways. And every time I hear the financial report given when we have our meetings, I'm amazed. Money that comes from sources that I would have never imagined, but yet God sends the funding in because God pays his own way. Amen. And God supplies the need. It just began with just a seed, and today it's a reality. I want you to know that there are a lot of things that God wants to do in your life. And if you'll just believe him for it, if you'll just trust him for it, and believe that God is going to work in these situations because it is his kingdom, it's his work, and he's allowed you and me to be a part of it. He's allowed us to be, I guess you would say, deputized, or we have been delegated some of the privilege to be a part of the work of the kingdom of God. But if we say no, or if we're not interested in doing something for the Lord, if we have no interest and no desire, then you'll never do it. You'll never see it happen. It won't become a reality to you. But just believe that God wants to do some great things. Expect God to do some big things. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this is not a mind over matter message. This is not a hyper faith idea. I'm just talking about the promise of God and the word of God. Let's look at Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. Now, this chapter is a word to the returning remnant coming back from captivity. They have been in captivity for 70 years. And now they're coming back. They're not coming back all, you know, with their heads up, all proud. They're coming back humble. Their heads are down. They're defeated. They're discouraged. But they're going back. They're going back to their homeland. And everything has just been left in shambles. The walls are down. The temple is destroyed. Their homeland is destroyed. And so they're going back into a situation that is seemingly hopeless. But what does God say to them about the circumstance? He says, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Now the Lord is saying to them, lift your head up and sing a song of hope. Sing a song of fruitfulness. Because I'm going to take you. You've been down there in that place of captivity for a long time. But I'm getting ready to turn this thing around. And when you read through this chapter, you'll see where the Lord continually lets them know. Verse 7, he says, it was just a small moment that I forsook you, or while you were down there in captivity. But with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee. Again, talking about the captivity. I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. The Lord was saying, I am going to restore you. I'm going to work in your life. I'm going to make you fruitful. And I'm going to cause your head that's hanging down to be lifted up. And I'm going to put a song in your heart and make you fruitful more so than you could ever, ever dream or imagine. Praise God. I imagine these captives were coming back thinking, it's just going to be good to be home. It's just going to be good back in our homeland. We don't have much. We don't have anything. Everything is gone. Our homes are gone. Our city is gone. Our temple is gone. But we're just going to be glad to get back home. But the Lord wasn't, that wasn't what the Lord was doing. He was saying, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to make you more fruitful than you have ever been. I'm going to give you a song, and you're going to lift up your head and rejoice in the fact that I'm going to do greater things than you could ever imagine. Hallelujah. Notice verse 2. He says, enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. What was he saying to them? He was saying, don't be content with where you are or what you have, but I'm going to do some great things. I'm going to cause you to expand. I'm going to cause you to grow, to stretch. I'm going to cause you to be lengthened and strengthened. I'm going to work in your situation. Don't be satisfied with what you have or where you are. Understand that God was promising them and telling them, you need to enlarge the place of your tent. You need to stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not. Have faith. Believe that I'm going to do greater things than you could ever, ever dream of. This was the God. This was the covenant that God was making with that returning remnant. The promises that he made to them, he makes to us, the church. Even today, in these last days, we need to put our faith and our confidence in the promise of God's word and believe that God wants to do greater things than we could ever imagine. His plans are to expand the work of God and the kingdom of God. His plan is to stretch us so that we will do more than we have ever done before. His plan is to lengthen us and to strengthen us so that we can accomplish more and take in more in the kingdom of God. That's the plan of God. I really do believe that we are in the last days, and we've kind of taken that as our mindset. Let's just survive. Let's just tie a knot in the end of the rope and hold on and do the best we can do, instead of realizing that in these last days, God is saying, I want to do greater things than you can even imagine. I want to do mighty things. I want to pour my spirit out upon you. I want you to expand. And he was saying that captivity was not meant to destroy you or to weaken you. It was meant to humble you so that you would put your faith and your trust in the Lord once again, instead of being directed and defeated by your pride. Now you have been humbled, and I want to lift you up. That's what he's promised to do. For those that are who humble themselves, God says, I will lift you up. I will work in your life. I will do mighty things in your behalf. So the captivity wasn't for their destruction. It wasn't just to weaken them, but it was to cause them to once again realize how much they needed the Lord. And we need him today. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. That doesn't sound like survival. That sounds like growth. That sounds like expansion. That sounds like doing more things. Ever since Marty has been back here on the radio station, every week he's wanting to do something new. Every week. And he's got a new idea. And he's got a new, we need to do this. We need to do that. And he's throwing so many different things at us that it's hard to take it all in sometimes. But I do appreciate the fact that he's stretching us somewhat. He's pressing us some. He's saying, let's do something new. Let's do something fresh. Let's do something that God would want us to do to expand things so that our outreach and our impact can be even greater. Praise God for that. Amen. Here's the promise, verse 3. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Glory to God. Amen. You're going to burst forth on your left and on your right. In every direction, God is saying to those returning remnant, You're going to break forth on your right and on your left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Glory to God. It was destroyed. The walls were down, and that whole region was completely annihilated and burnt to the ground. And he said, those empty cities are going to be restored. Amen. The walls are going to be built back up again. The temple's going to be restored. And all of those cities are going to, they're going to be alive and active, and things are going to be happening, and they're going to be your homes once again. And they're not going to be what they were. They'll even be greater than you can ever, ever imagine. You're going to burst forth on your left hand and on your right hand, because I am going to cause you to even inherit the Gentiles. This was a prophetic word concerning the message of the gospel. This was a prophetic word concerning what God was going to do through the people of God when he said he's going to break forth on the left hand and on the right hand, and even the Gentiles, that he's going to inherit, thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. He was talking about those that were going to hear the gospel and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ in generations to come, that God was going to use them to do things in the future that they could never imagine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 4, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Lift up your head. Don't be in doubt. Don't be under condemnation. Fear not, thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be confounded. For thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy Maker is thine husband, and the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Glory to God. What a wonderful chapter this is that speaks to the people of God and reminds us that God delights in using the small, the weak, the insignificant, the unnamed to do big things. Hallelujah. Amen. I know some people that they're just ambitious. They're looking for a way to make another dollar. They're looking for a way to advance themselves. And ambition that's worldly ambition can be really destructive. It's not of God. But on the other hand, an ambition that comes from God, a holy ambition that comes from the heart of God, you catch the vision, you catch the burden, and you understand this is from the Lord, and you have a holy ambition and a desire. Nothing wrong with dreaming big as long as you're dreaming God's dreams, as long as you're dreaming God's will and God's purpose. Now, again, if it's selfishly motivated, it's not going to get off the ground. But if it's something that God is putting in your heart and he's dealing with you about it, then step forward and believe God for big things. Amen. A holy ambition is something that God can use for great things. Praise the Lord. Amen. So dream big and begin to plan what God might want to do and how that he might want to use you. And never say I'm too young, and never say I'm too old, because the scripture is full of examples of God using very young people and using very old people. So there is no excuse where you fit. If you're a youth or whatever age you might be, as long as you are in this world and walking around on this planet as a child of God, God has a plan for you. Amen. And it's not the rocking chair sitting down by the lake fishing. Amen. That may be your idea of retirement. I don't know about that. I understand that when you get older, you may not have the energy and the strength that you should have, but I just can't believe that that's really the plan of God. I believe that God has things he wants to do with his people, whoever you are and whatever stage you are in your life. God has some things that he wants to do through you and in your life. He wants to use you. And if you're here and you're alive and you're breathing tonight, then God has a plan and he wants to fulfill that. His purpose is to use you to advance his kingdom. Praise God. Amen. Without exception, everybody here, every one of you, every one of you. So would you allow the Lord to strengthen your faith, to believe God, to believe God? I know that faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. I understand that it does. And so I think that we need, when we hear God's Word, whether taught or preached or you're reading it or whatever, studying the Bible, allow the truth of God's Word to speak to you personally. Allow the truth of the Word of God to be a personal message to you. Instead of reading it or hearing it preached and saying, that sounds like that would really fit. I wish they were here tonight because that was really for them. But in reality, whenever God speaks, He wants you to hear and He wants you to act upon it. Amen. And believe the Lord. So in Isaiah 54, what a wonderful message that He gave to that returning remnant, telling them, lift up your head, sing the song of victory, sing the song of returning, and expand and enlarge and believe that I'm going to do greater things than you could ever imagine. My hand is going to be upon you, and you're going to break out on the left and on the right, and I'm going to do things that you cannot even imagine. They could never have dreamed of the gospel expanding, touching the Gentiles, and going all over the world. But God was letting them know that they were going to be in on this big plan that God had. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hudson Taylor would not allow any of the 24 missionaries that he trained and sent inland. He would not allow any of them to, none of them received a regular salary. And he would not allow them to ask for any funds from anybody. He said, this, you are trusting God to supply. Now that's pretty tough. But every one of them that went out in faith, God, there are testimony after testimony of how that God supplied for them. And there are many, many things that God developed in that China Inland Mission that has been duplicated over and over again by different missions organizations over the last century. Things that were learned because of the process. And it was all as they were led of the Spirit. And God was directing them and sending them into China and establishing a work of God there. As I said, it's still exist today. Headquarters is up in Greenwood, Indiana. And I forget the name of it. Now, the name has been changed. It's not China Inland Mission anymore. I know it, but I don't know it. I'm just saying that God can begin something in your heart, something that He can do that's greater than you could ever dream of. Let's believe God. Let's believe by faith, that He is going to do some wonderful and mighty things. Amen. Father, thank You. Thank You that You're talking to us, dealing with us. And I know, Lord, in this month of February, in the weeks to come, Lord, that there are things that You are wanting to do. You're just looking for individuals who will say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll be involved in that ministry. I'll start that new ministry. I'll do what You're putting on my heart. I'll reach out to that particular group of people. I'll do what You are asking me to do. I will obey Your voice. Hallelujah. Glory to God.